Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right. Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to another episode of Tonight with Madani Channel. What we have first of all is we have a topic of the night, and then inshallah azawajal we have the personality of the week, and then we also have the book of the week. So this is how the program is all laid out, and alhamdulillah azawajal we have in our studios mashallah two beautiful muballighs discussing about the topic today. Mashallah azawajal Tawfiq bhai is already here in the studio. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah, Tawfiq bhai, are you okay?
Alhamdulillah.
Let's start with our topic, what we're going to be discussing today. InshaAllah, Azawajal, the first segment we're going to talk about is topic of the week. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right. Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right. Tonight with Madani Channel.
Topic of the week. Today we're going to be discussing about calamities, problems. Whenever these calamities happen, you know, how we should be dealing with these calamities. And at that time, we should have sabr, inshallah. So this is what we're going to talk about. And also, you know, when a person, when a Muslim is ill or is in some sort of a problem or a calamity befalls upon him, then at that time, what should we do? Should we thank Allah Azza wa Jal? Or should we cry and should we tell other people, this is what's happened to me? This is exactly what we're going to learn in our program today. And then, you know, some of the common reactions that people have. One Buzurg Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, he had robbers, he was robbed. So when he woke up in the morning and he saw a lot of things were scattered all over in the house. And this Buzurg Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, instead of telling other people, instead of crying or complaining, he starts to thank Allah Azza wa Jal. And those people who were there, they said that, Ya Sayyidi, you know, you've been robbed. They've nearly, you know, taken everything from your house. And you are still thanking Allah Azza wa Jal. And he says that, why shall I not thank Allah Azza wa Jal? For three reasons, thanking Allah Ta'ala has become wajib upon me. And the people, they said that, we don't know what you mean. And the Buzurg Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, he says that number one is, my house was robbed. The robber did not take everything. He left a few things behind. What if he had taken everything? What would I have done? Number two, the second reason is that I thank Allah Ta'ala that I am not a robber. I'm not a thief. It was someone else. And number three is that it was a person who came to my house and robbed my worldly belongings. What if it was the shaitan and robbed me of my iman? What would we have done? My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, we all go through problems in this world. This world is full of problems. This world is full of tests. Now we need to understand and we need to know how to deal with these. Ji, mashallah, Azzawajal Tawfiq bhai, I want to start off with yourself. Calamities, what can we start off with?
Hafsa, no, we take things for granted. In UK, if you look at the winter period, you know, it gets very cold. The weather, you know, freezing point. Sometimes when you drive in the morning, you know, you can see the temperature there. It says -5, -4 as well. You know, sometimes not, it hasn't started yet, you know, this moment, this particular year. But normally in the winter, that's what happens. You know, we sometimes live in that, when the temperature is minus, well, we don't feel it.
Mm.
Yeah, why? Because in the car, we've got the heating.
Gee.
And as soon as you get out from the car and you go to your office, or you get into a masjid, or you get to your own house, as soon as you enter the doors, there's heating there.
Gee.
Yeah. But ask those, you know, who are, when they're outside, it's very cold. And as soon as they enter their own homes, there's no heating system there. It's even colder at home.
Gee,
yeah, because there's cold walls, everything. If they, whenever they sit, yeah, even, you know, if they have a duvet, and if they put something or the shower or duvet over themselves, that's freezing itself.
Gee.
So only those people who are going through the suffering or difficulty, you know, they will have a different understanding, different picture altogether. Yeah, be it cold weather, be it very hot weather, you know, or if it's any other type of suffering that we have as a human being, as a as a test. But there's one thing, you know, I want to point out, that every calamity that comes, every problem, every suffering that we have in the life, it comes with an opportunity to learn.
Yeah,
that's something very important to keep in mind.
Let's get Harumba in as well, alhamdulillah. Azawajal. I want you to give a few words as well, inshallah.
Yeah, Afsab, what you've got to remember is that we are here for a purpose. Now, what we have learnt through our society is that when it comes to any calamity that befalls us, the first reaction is to shout and scream. Now, when you look at the beautiful life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there isn't a better example of how to deal with calamities.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
Now, today, if we look at our lives, we speak to people. If they've had an operation, they think it's, you know, if it's not been successful, that's a calamity. If somebody becomes ill, that's a calamity. If somebody loses somebody, a loved one, that's a calamity. If, you know, say, you know, the power fails in your house, say there's a problem with your builders, say there's a problem with at the local masjid, there's a even traffic jams, even too much mirchi in the salon seems to be a calamity for some people. And what we, that the problem with it is this, that we have started to love this world so much that anything that even slightly disturbs our enjoyment of it, we can't take it. So what we do is we regard that as a calamity. So when you, sometimes you speak to people, it's actually quite amazing. When you speak to people and you think, you know, what's bothering you? And recently I was speaking to somebody and they were telling me about their problems. And honestly, I was sat there and I didn't want to be kind of almost kind of callous, but I thought, these are not really problems. These are like petty things that this person has taken over his mind. And Allah Azza wa Jal has created us in this world for a reason. You know, we're not here to simply, you know, go to work for 8 hours a day, raise children, and, you know, that's it. And buy some property.
And I think, you know what, Tawfiq Bey mentioned earlier on, that some people think that calamity is, you know, you look at your own, but if you look at it around the world, how much people are suffering.
When you put the calamities we face, you know, a lot of people, they very ignorantly say that times are now difficult, and at times when the pious predecessors and Nauzubillah, the Sahaba Ikram were there, those were easy times, Nauzubillah min Zalik. Those were the most difficult times. These people had very little to go off, and yet they were carrying the flag of Islam.
Subhanallah.
Today, you know, they didn't have a roof over us. It's a bit like an analogy where you've got a person, Hafizab, who's out in the rain, yeah? And it's raining down. He managed to find a piece of cardboard to cover his head. He managed to find a little bit of shelter. And he says, you know, Ya Allah tera shukr, I'm not out in the rain. I found a piece of cardboard.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got people like us, yeah? You've got a big mansion, and one corner of it, there's a little bit of a leak. And we're having sleepless nights because one corner of the building, there's a little bit of a water leaking in. And we say, you know, when somebody says, Kya hala, yeah? We say, oh, don't ask, man. Well, the builder didn't do a good job. My house is leaking from one side. I just didn't know. Again, for 3 days, I've not been able to sleep. And you think, Allahu Akbar. And, you know, the problem is this. Life is full of calamities.
Yes.
Now, when, you know, Allah Azza wa Jal created Jahannam and sent Hazrat Jibreel Amin alayhi salam to look at it, And he said, nobody will go near that.
Oh,
and then Lazio said, you know, the surroundings of it. And the surroundings of it was desires and everything else. And he said, I'm afraid nobody is going to stay away from it. And then similarly with Jannah. With Jannah was shown to Hazrat Jibril Amin. And he said, this is so beautiful. How would, you know, it's, everybody would want to go there. And when he was shown the difficulties that people needed to face to get into Jannah, that's when he said, I'm afraid that nobody's going to be entering this. Oh, now, what was that? That was the calamities that are going to befall you in this short life.
Yeah.
Those are the tests. Because Allah Ta'ala says, you know, you created for the test. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. This is a life that was created for a specific purpose. It wasn't created so I can work 8 hours a day and I can have a luxury lifestyle and I can come home and flick the TV on and I have bliss. It wasn't created for that.
I was talking to earlier on someone, Tawfiq Bey, and you know, it's like mentioning, he was went to some ta'weezat and I make a few minds up, alhamdulillah, say, look, you know, try to offer your salat. Because, well, I work in a factory, so how can I read my namaz? Because I'm busy. You know, and you know, you think to yourself, okay, I can give you all the ta'weez in the world, but I'm telling you, nothing's going to change. Because we were not created to work, you know, to work, we were created to worship.
I remember I was talking about the life being a test.
Yeah.
It's all about the concept. You know, there's no doubt, you know, every single person in different way or form will have difficulties in life.
Yeah, definitely.
In a way, you know, if I was to turn this around, if you don't have any problems in your life, everything's working smooth for you, that means there's something wrong.
There's a problem there.
That's, something wrong. That's a beautiful point.
Because life is meant to be full of tests.
There's a beautiful point.
You know, Fir'aun, he's in his life never had a headache in his life.
Allah.
You know, that was how Allah Ta'ala, you know, blessed him. But yet, you know, look at the way he returns that blessing by doing kufr against Allah.
What Tawfiq Bey said that is a very beautiful point, because the Buzurgan Adin, you know, the books say that if they didn't have a test, they used to say, Ya Allah, patanin razo bi. Ya Allah, you upset
with me. They used to get worried. Yeah.
They used to get worried that, Ya Allah, you know, have I done something wrong? You're not testing me. I've got a peaceful life.
You know why though? Why? That's because they looked at these tests as blessings from
blessings,
Allah.
Yeah. Allah.
So they had a positive mindset. And that's something, inshallah, we'll touch on later on as well. But overall, you know, earlier we talked about someone who's actually directly impacted by a particular calamity, their, you know, the world in the heart is changed.
Mm.
Their feelings are different. You know, all of us as well, you know, in different moments of our life, we've gone through difficult times. Mm. But then the time moves on.
Yeah.
Then you can say the time heals things. We kind of forget things as well. Mm-hmm. There's somewhere in the back of the mind, but we move on with life. But those individuals who are actually directly impacted, you know, the feelings they're going through, they can't describe them.
Coming back to what you said, Tawfiq Bey, it was, you know, these calamities are goodness. There's a beautiful hadith in Mubarak. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have said, Sahih Bukhari Sharif, whoever Allah Almighty intends goodness for, He Almighty inflicts him with calamity.
Allah.
And you know, sometimes what happens is this. The Zughani Deen writes something very beautiful. That, you know, a person's amal, his good deeds, his, you know, actions in the court of Allah, his obedience, may not be that high. It may be just he's reading his 5-time namaz, he's reading his Quran, but he's not doing anything in particular. But his status in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla, in the court of his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is ranked very high.
Subhanallah.
And people wonder when they look, how is this person blessed with that high status? And it is because when a calamity befalls them, they are patient. Their trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla grows. And you know, Amir al-Sunnat Dawud Barakatul Aliyah quotes a very beautiful parable of a very wise king. And he said to his wise man, he said, write me something down that when I look at it when I'm upset, it gives me the sabr, the patience, and it helps me deal with my calamity. And when I'm happy, people get ecstatic and they go over the top and they do things that they shouldn't be doing. And often, you know, the rich people are the ones, unfortunately, who are the most disobedient in the court of Allah, because they've got Allah has blessed them. So, you know, there's very few you'll find rich people who do madani work. There's very few rich people. There are, illa mashallah, but a lot of the time, if you look at the Islam as a progression of Islam, Islam spread amongst the poor people. Islam was more, because these were the people who gave time. I mean, Nigran Shura and his Bayan on Madni Channel was saying that, you know, alhamdulillah, we've got a lot of very wealthy Dawat Islami brothers. We've got a lot of brothers who have got particular...
We've got your example and Tawfiq Bey's example.
we've got a lot of brothers who have got good jobs, good status and everything else. But actually, the grassroots level work of Dawat Islami is done by the beautiful brothers who, you know, are at that end of the spectrum. And, you know, worldly-wise, they may not have much, but they're far ahead of us in the court of Allah.
So even in that aspect where these people at the ground level, the masjid level, when they try to, you know, meet people, they're inviting people towards the masjid, towards the gatherings, and try to reform the individuals on the streets. These people, they face a lot of trouble. They face a lot of talking and shouting from the public as well. And it's not easy. They face a lot of humiliation. So that itself, in a way, is a calamity. It's a test.
Yeah.
And sometimes it puts people back.
Well, you know, the problem is somebody of a status, you know, if you give me nikki davat and I'm ignorant, I rebuke you, yeah? You'll think, well... You know, I've got my own life, I've got my own, you know, I've got my own bungalow and everything else, yeah. I'm not going to talk to them again. But these beautiful brothers, they'll be back there again. Come on, let's go to the Masjid for Namaz. Why don't you join Madrasatul Madina Balaghan? And you admire these people. So coming back to the story of the king says to his wise man, write me something down. If I look at it when I'm happy, it will calm me down. And when I look at it when I'm sad, it will cheer me up. So the vizier, the wise man, writes down that this time will pass.
Allahu Akbar.
So the king, when he's happy, he'd look at it and think, happy times will pass, I'll have sad times. So it'd calm him down. And then when he saw it in calamity, he'd think, well, this is a test, this time will pass, happy times will come. And he'd have the resolve to deal with it and to face it. You know, in our language, a wolf that usually runs away from a problem. Yeah. Rather, what they do, these people are like lions. You know, they see a problem, they think, right, okay, let's sort it out. And a calamity befalls them, they think, right, we're going to deal with this calamity head on and put their trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Well, there's another beautiful saying, especially with regards to the lives of a mu'min, of a believer. This topic has been mentioned in the Hadith of Park as well, that there is always goodness in mu'min's life.
Sure.
There is khair, there is goodness in the mu'min, in the believer's life, because whenever he receives goodness, whenever he receives favor, he does shukr. He is thankful to Allah Almighty for the favor. And whenever he receives calamity and difficulty or a suffering, he does sabr. It's very important that we try to continue and move forward in life. Yeah. So don't stop there. Don't let this problem or calamity, you know, overcome your heart.
You've got to fight it.
You have to fight it. You have to carry on. As a human being, you know, it's very important that we have a mindset of flexibility and be able to adapt to any situation. So in life, not everything will be smooth and straight and easy for you. There will be rough patches, there will be difficulties in the way. So whatever circumstances come, you need to be able to adapt yourself. The example that you just gave now, those people who've gone on a depression mode, in particular those people who were fine before, but because of this calamity, that this has a big impact on their mind.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why does it happen? It happens because, you know, some people have like a mindset of being stubborn. Yeah, they just want it their way. They're not ready to change and be adaptable. I'll give you an example. You know, if someone says that, look, I want the moon. I want to play with the moon. Get me the moon. Yeah, Hafsab, come on, man. You got big links here. Yeah,
please.
Yeah, you got the big contacts here. Please get the moon here. It's not going to happen. That person can cry, scream, whatever he wants to do, the moon's not going to come down. Yeah. Generally, yeah. You never know. You know, if kusani karamat aa jaye, that's something else. Yeah,
but generally,
I left a little bit of a loop there. But anyway, but being practical, it doesn't happen.
Yeah,
a person can say whatever he wants. So he needs to move on with life and be able to be flexible and adapt to the situation that's required. Another very important lesson that we learn, whenever a calamity or difficulty comes, have a positive mindset. You know, always look out for the betterment in it. So there will be something good inside it. You know, have a creative mind. And rather than looking at this as a problem, look at it as a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? If you look at it as a problem, the word problem makes you feel depressed. The word challenge makes you feel excited. Motivated, yeah, excited.
Yeah.
Wants you to do something to tackle it, to fight it. See, at the end of the day, you're tackling with the same issue, but you used a different word.
You know, another thing is that if you are a Muslim, Allah's going to test you. Yeah, so that's going to happen inevitably. You know, whatever we do, you cannot run away. Life is all about tests. You know, there might be some tests that, you know, if you look at the life of Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that doesn't mean that ma'azallah he was wrong. You know, that was a test from him. And the bigger the test, the bigger the reward.
What I'd say is that the bigger the personality, the greater the test as well. And we will come back to Hazrat Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam as well. But what I wanted to say was there's a psychological point here. What it is, we have a disease of the mind which actually stops us dealing with our problems and our calamities. And that disease is this. And this is very important to learn, because what happens is that these diseases creep in, sometimes through the society we live in or the situation we're in, and these diseases stick. So what this disease is this. Say, for example, some things happened that I didn't want to happen. It's a calamity for me. Now, what do I do? What do most of us do? What we say is, we think back, gosh, this didn't happen. I wish this didn't happen. I wish this didn't happen. I'll repeat the problem in my head a million times, and I'll say, I wish this had happened, and that had happened, and this had happened, and that wouldn't have happened. And that is the waswasas of the shaitan. The shaitan's getting here. Actually, the real thinking, the Islamic thinking here, was this, that I didn't want it to happen. But this is the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. Hazrat Mawla Ali radiallahu ta'ala said that when I wish something and it doesn't happen, my iman becomes stronger because I know that there's a will greater than mine. So what we need to do is think, right, okay, so it was the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is the question. And this is the question to remember, each one of us to remember for the rest of our lives. Allah Azza wa Jal has put me in this situation. What does Allah Azza wa Jal want me to do in this situation, in this calamity that I have? That is the test. If you say to yourself, I didn't create this situation, but Allah Azza wa Jalla has put me in this, rather than think of the ideal, I wish this didn't happen, I wish my accident didn't happen, I wish this, I wasn't ill. Forget all of that. Allah Azza wa Jalla has decreed, you know, the pens, the ink's dried, the pens have been lifted. This is the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Accept it and then think, what does Allah Azza wa Jalla want me to do now? And then what happens, Afsab, is this. Don't brood over the past, it's gone. You cannot bring it back. If the entire human creation, human beings and jinn came together, they cannot take time back.
Sure.
This is the rule of Allah. Now, what you have to do is accept it and move on. And what these people do is, it's a bit like, it's a funny example, but you'll appreciate it. There's a martial art called Aikido. And sometimes what does is people run at this person and he deflects them off that way. That one comes in, deflects them off that way. That one comes in, deflects them off with a different move. And you think, wow, this guy's great, yeah? Actually, life is a bit like that. You're going to be fired in with calamities left, right, and center. And are you going to be the person who sits there and poof, take it on the chin and then cry for 10 days and then eventually get up and pick the pieces up? Are you going to be like the person who said, come from Allah Azza wa Jal, I will deal with it. I'll prostrate in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. I'm going to fight it like a lion, not run away like a wolf or something like that. And this is the key to it. Those people who time and time again, when they're faced with a calamity, they say, this is from Allah Azza wa Jal. They put their trust in Allah Azza wa Jal and they make the effort. These are the people that the glorious Quran says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ. Now the translation of this, I want you to remember for the rest of your lives. Indeed, those who said, Allah is our Lord, and remained firm upon it, upon them descend the angels, saying, do not fear nor grieve and be happy for the paradise which you are promised.
Subhanallah.
These are the people who face the calamities. These are not the people who run away. These are the people. And when you face calamities like this, Allah just sends angels to you. This is the glorious Quran. You can't lose. And this is why Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said those beautiful words that, you know, for a believer, when he's inflicted with a calamity, then his ranks are about to be raised if he deals with it properly. Wow. If we deal with it as a coward, and that's what we do, we become cowardly. Yeah, you know, choti si masibat ho gaya hai, and we forget about our namaz. You know, like you were saying earlier, Amir al-Sunnah says this, you know, when you people come with their problems, and they say, you know, I've got this problem. And Amir al-Sunnah says that you ask him whether they read namaz, or do you know I don't read namaz? First of all, that is the main reason,
biggest
that
problem.
Your biggest problem.
Yeah.
But as well as that, there's another way of looking at it. You are getting calamity upon calamity upon calamity because you're not reading your namaz, you're not prostrating in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, you're not being obedient in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. But as well as that, there's a big, more subtle point than that. Not reading namaz is actually a calamity in itself.
And Harun Bhaiya, you know, I think you've mentioned it as well many times. Why is it always that the deen has to suffer? You know, like for example, if there's any problems at home, you know, I can't get to sleep at night, I've got this problem, I've got that. I'm still going to go to work in the morning, I've still got to see my friends, I've still got to go to the gym. The only thing that suffers is my Quran reading, that finishes, my namaz, that stops, everything else. So it's our deen that suffers the most at that time.
That is another disease of the mind. As soon as you have everything set up beautifully, as soon as you have a problem, say for time-wise, you can't have time to do something, what you'll do is you'll try and make time somewhere. And what we do is the shaitan comes and says, well, you do go to the mosque for Isha every day, but you pray at home. You'll save half an hour there. If you don't go to the masjid, or you don't go to the Balighan class, that's another half an hour you save there. It won't come and say to you that the 2 hours you spend surfing the internet, that 1 hour you spend in front of the television, that's where you can save time. Or when you're giving in the way of Allah, you know,
Nigrani Shura was mentioning in one of his tarbiyat ishtimas that, you know, Islam brothers normally, if you say to him, why were you not at the ishtima today? I said, you know what, it is, my mom's really ill, so I've got to stay home, you know, look after her. So, you know, say to yourself, okay, so whole week you stayed home at home. No, I go to work. Yeah, so you go to work in the morning, you spend
the
1 hour. The only time that your mom is ill is when it's time for to come to the ishtima.
Say you've got financial difficulties. The first thing that comes into our head is, let's save some money. The first thing is, what am I spending on the deen of Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? And that's where we start budgeting, and that's why we start saving. Halanka, that's foolish, because this was the source of the blessings and the barakat in all your earnings. And what you're doing is you're cutting that source. Actually, what you should do is your long list of shopping when you go to the supermarket and you go for the top brands on everything, cut them down.
Yeah.
Cut them down. Cut your shopping bill down. We live a life of luxury. If you don't have 6 different types of biscuits, it's not going to matter. If you don't have 5 different types of cereal, it's not going to matter. But no, what we do is we give X amount a month to the poor. Iski Katina, 50% now.
Tawfiq Bhai, you know, moving on with some of the calamities. What if you do have a calamity? You know, there's a problem. How can you deal with that? You know, Islamically, What should you do?
There's a beautiful analogy that I wanted to mention, and hopefully will answer the question as well, inshallah. There's some scholars say that sufferings and calamities are like stepping stones that help you reach the heights of success.
Subhanallah.
Now, how are calamities stepping stones? I'll give you an example. Say if you were like in a forest, and there's a river stream next to you, and it's not that deep, but where when you look down the water, you can see some pebbles or stones, rocks. Yeah. And it's like a one road away, or even two roads, you know, width, you know, the distance. And then if you want to cross that river stream, what do we normally do? We look at them rocks, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
And we put our feet on them stones. So them are the stepping stones. And you put each foot on each stone, you carry on going. It helps you to cross the river. Yeah. Similarly, we have stepping stones in life that help you to improve, to get best out of you in that particular field. Mm-hmm. And that's what scholars say, that these sufferings are like stepping stones. So it's giving you an opportunity to either step on them and walk on them and move forward in life. So you'll get all the ajr and the reward and blessings from it. Yeah. Or, you know, the stones in front of you, you go and bang into it. Yeah, you crash into it and then you suffer even more. So it's important that you look at these sufferings or difficulties as a test from Allah Ta'ala, and look at the blessings in it. It's given you an opportunity that, you know, before you granted your freedom, your leisure, you know, as the only thing you have. But now you've realized it's not all about that. Mm. There's a supreme power, you know, which is beyond our understanding. Yeah, and that is our Rabb, our Allah.
Subhanallah.
Yeah? Allah Ta'ala is the one who controls us, yeah, who puts us into a test where, you know, I've just met one brother today. His father is at a very critical stage in hospital, and it's been 3 weeks. He's in that same stage. Anything can happen at the moment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because I've been through that process myself with my father, may Allah have mercy upon them, you know, some years back, and I can feel, you know, what he's going through. What happens that you feel your hands are, you know, chained back, they're tied up. You, as a son, as a family member, you can't do anything. Even if you want to do it, you can't do anything here. Even the doctors can't do anything. Yeah, now everything's left there in the court of Allah. Yeah. You focus towards the mercy of Allah Ta'ala.
You feel helpless at that time.
You feel helpless, and you have the only hope for you is the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. And that's the mindset that we should have. Whenever you have a calamity, what's the first thing we should be doing? Turn towards Allah.
How can we turn towards Allah?
Well, it's important to remember, there's a beautiful hadith in Barqa I was going to quote before I come to your question, because this kind of explains that. Ibn Majah Sharif, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, a person is made to face calamity according to how religious he is. If he is firm in his religion, then his trial will also be tough. And if he is weak in his religion, then Allah Almighty tests him according to how religious he is. Now this is the important bit. A person keeps falling prey to calamities to the extent that all his sins are forgiven in this very world.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
Now, what we've got to remember is this. We want to be free from calamities. We want to have this blissful life. But on the day of judgment, when we are faced with the burden of our sins, how are we going to deal with it?
Mm.
Now, on the day of judgment, if somebody said to you, and this is the reality, that because of such and such a calamity, this sin was forgiven. Because you bared patiently with this problem and turned to Allah, this sin was forgiven. Yeah. And your sins are cancelled out. On that day, people will say, well, ya Allah, you know, I wish more calamities had come to me. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that when Allah Almighty loves somebody or intends to make him his friend, then He Almighty inflicts him with the rain of calamities. Then when the person calls out to his Lord Almighty saying, oh, my Lord Almighty, and Allah says to him, oh, my bondsman, I will grant you whatever you ask for me.
Allah,
either I will
Allah,
give it to you soon, or store it for the hereafter. Now, just on that hadith of Mubarakah, in all of these tests, one of the greatest waqiyahs, one of the greatest narrations that we have is about the Prophet Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam. Now, first of all, Amir al-Sunnah points this out on many occasions, and the scholars say this as well. A lot of people have fabricated a lot of things about Hazrat Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam, that he had this disease and mazallah, he had this disease and na'uzu billah min zalik, he had
insects and bad
smells. All this is just made up stories. This was the Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal. Yes, he was put through a test, but none of these tests, na'uzu billah min zalik, were degrading in any way, shape or form. These were tests, but Allah Azza wa Jal gave to his beloved Prophet, Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam, and you know, the beauty was that all these calamities happened, and every time he was patient in the court of Allah. He put his trust in Allah, and he was content. This was the key to it. He was content with the will of Allah. The scholars write that, you know, after he became well, and somebody asked him, you know, how are you? And you must be better. And he said, I'm missing one thing.
Allah,
and he said, what possibly could you be missing from the time when, because these calamities were not only physical, His children passed away, his houses collapsed, his financial affairs were all disturbed, and yet he remained patient, thanking Allah Azawajal. And so now that Allah Azawajal has given him, and you know, the riwayat says that Allah Azawajal granted him all of these things, gave him children, gave him family, gave him everything back. Now, he's asked, what is it that you admire so much and like and cherish so much about those times when you were suffering with all these calamities? And he says that every day there was a certain time when Allah Azza wa Jal used to ask me, Ayyub, how are you? And that peace, that feeling that I used to get, I missed that qurbat, that closeness to Allah Azza wa Jal. When you've been inflicted with a calamity, if you're patient, your status in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you may never have reached that status with your ibadat, with your worship, with your namaz, with your fasting, with your zakat, with your hajj. You may never have reached that status. But because of that patience at the time of calamity, you're going, boof, you've beaten everybody. You've done it. And this is the key. That's why you have these calamities. And the more, the hadith of Mubarakah says, the more religious you are, the greater the test.
Yeah, and we can see that, you know, in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when he announced his prophethood, what happened, what he went through, living in Shaabi Abi Talib for 3 years in an open area. You know, when you look at these things, you know, we've never been through all that. But what this moment of time, again, I was mentioning that to someone, you know, if you are religious, you've got this mind mentality of Madani Zen. Yeah, you will take these in a different way. But if you don't have that Madani Zen, it's like every little problem will be the biggest problem you have.
You know, what we fail to appreciate is this, that Allah Azza wa Jalla has put this calamity maybe for a reason. You know, recently my nephew, he came up to me. We were discussing his GCSEs. He's got his exams soon. And he said to me, he said, I can go in for the higher level, but I'll have to work a lot harder. It's a lot of hard work. And I have to, you know, go through past exam papers and revise. And it's a much more stringent paper. It's got very difficult questions on it. And I'll have to work very hard and I'll have to answer these. But if I do that, I can get the A's. Or I can go in for the intermediate level, where I don't have to work as hard, but I've got no chance of getting to that A grade. Maybe Allah Azza wa Jal, through this calamity, has set a beautiful palace in Jannah for you. And now is your test, yeah? If you work hard through this calamity, you could have that palace in Jannah. Whereas if you go for the intermediate level, maybe you'll scrape through by the blessings of the Nalani Park, the blessings of the dust of the shoes of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you'll scrape into Jannah. But then in Jannah, there are levels. And you know, and what's the difference between you and the person there? Well, you both got tested. But the one who got the calamity and was patient in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal and saw it as a test, got those higher rewards. And the one who panicked, and this is the problem we have, as soon as a problem comes to me, it comes from Allah Azza wa Jal. Why do I need to then announce it to the world? You know, today, if I have a problem, you know, it's like, it goes straight onto Facebook and Twitter and all the world knows.
Very good.
You know,
and you ring someone up and you ask him, Kevin, you know, sometimes you're even scared asking that person because you know what he's going to come out with. And, you know, I asked one person, you know, you sent me a message, that the khariyat and everything. Oh, kya kara, fasad, my head is banging, mari gya main, tu sa pata hi nahi kita mara, khuda ne bana, you know, just
koi tasavvur. You remember, it was like in the olden days, neki kar darya mein daal. Now, when you do a good deed, neki kar Facebook mein daal. You know, it's straight onto the pages, so that if I've done a good deed, you know, if I've kept a fast, yeah, well, 500,000 people need to know that, yeah. Mm-hmm. If I've given £20 to a child or to an orphanage, well, you know, the world needs to know. You know, if I got up for tahajjud, well, why doesn't everybody know? And this is the problem. And this is the hadith of Barakat. So when I have a calamity, if you ask me, you know, in the olden days, they used to say, and he said, kya hal hai, how are you? So Allah na shukr hai. Yeah. Today, you know, some of the ulama ikram, they sometimes joke, they say, today when you ask, you're scared to ask because they'll pull out a list. Yeah. And they'll say, okay, Imam Sahib, Hafiz Sahib, there's all these problems. And in the olden days, they used to say, Allah na shukr. Now they say, shukr. You know, and this is the problem. They pull out the list of, and listen to this hadith of Mubarakah. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, whoever faced a physical or financial calamity, then kept it concealed and did not reveal it upon the people, then it is upon the mercy of Allah Azzawajal to forgive him.
SubhanAllah.
So you, this was forgiveness for you.
Mashallah.
And you know, you, what you have you done? You've actually, you know, in the Asari Zibana told by Galaita, you've done. And this is the problem. You know, that actually makes your calamity worse. Because what you haven't done is, the real thing you should have done is gone into sajda and prostrated in the
court. You know, sometimes, Anumba, you know, when you're talking to someone and you ask someone, they mention their problem as it's your fault, you know, the one who's asking. You know, like for example, if you ask me, how are you doing? Oh, I'm all right. Tu sada apu phirne ho na, change pale ho, you know, people. You think, yara, maafi jana, I even asked you, man. You know, so, moving on, we've got 10 minutes left, Arunbhai. How can these calamities, we can get rid of them?
It's all up here. It's all psychological. Look at this. And this is the prime and fundamental example that we've got to remember. When we have even the smallest of calamities, we run away and we panic and we shout and we scream.
Mm.
Yeah? Let me give you the ultimate example of what you need to do. And there's no better example in Islamic history. Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam, Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, gave us the encyclopedia of dealing with calamities. You know, there's nobody who could, there's no more teachings left on sabr, on patience in the face of calamities, than the life of Sayyidina Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam, Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now, these, our calamities are nothing. They're a walk in the park. And yet, despite his calamities, you tell me, on the plains of Karbala, did anybody, not only Imam Ali Muqam radiallahu ta'ala, but anybody from the Madani Qafla of Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam radiallahu ta'ala miss their salah? The tents, while the Yazidis were partying and chilling out, and the Samaravites, which said they had dancing women as well, on the other side, Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam radiallahu ta'ala's tents were echoing with the voice of the glorious Quran.
Wow. They never, you know, he missed their Jamaat, you know, where it was possible. They never missed their Jamaat as well.
Just imagine this. Put things into context. Put your little problems into context. Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala was the grandson of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. This is the best of creation. Now, it doesn't get more sacred and more blessed than the beloved grandson of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moves into the battlefield himself and is martyred. And yet, even at the time of his great martyrdom, he is giving the world the lesson of patience. Today, Islam is where it is because of the great sacrifice of Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam radiallahu anhu in the face of calamities. And for the world, he's left a lesson. Why? He didn't focus on what was in front of him. He didn't focus on the bodies of his children. He didn't focus on anything else. He focused on the pleasure, the will, the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the love of the beloved Habib.
You know, someone asked him, how can we get rid of these calamities? There is one thing that the ulama ikram, the scholars, they mentioned, is to give charity in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal is a means of getting rid of calamities. The more you give in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, the more Allah Ta'ala will remove your problems. Now, sometimes people think, yeah, what if you are poor yourself? Like this person, he says that, I can't give anything in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. I'm really poor. I can't even have enough money to feed myself. And Igran Ashura, he says, even at that time, if you can feed, you know, if you need 5 morsels, give 1 in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. At least give something. And, you know, this was practically done by so many Islamic brothers, especially, that when you give in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, the more you give, the more these problems and calamities will remove. You know, try to give your money, your hard-earned money, in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal for these calamities to be removed.
This is where we kind of get stuck, because when we have to physically do something to try and get rid of the calamities, that's where the shaitan then comes and says, is it really going to take away your calamity?
Yeah.
Is it really going to help you? Or is it just that, you know, they're doing a collection? We're not saying this because I think it or you think it. The Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us the glad tidings that sadaqah, giving in the way of Allah azza wa jal, deals with calamities and fights calamities.
Islam brother mentioned a beautiful thing. He goes, you know, how can sadaqah, charity, remove your calamities? And he gave an example, and he says, just imagine your son is playing outside. Yeah. Now, if he falls, he's about to fall down, or he's about to cross the road and he's going to be run over by a car. Now, what's happened is if he gets knocked over, or if he falls, you've got to take him to the hospital. So many days you've got to be staying in hospital. You know, you might not even return back to work for a few days. Why? Because you're looking after your son. That 1 pound that you give, Allah Ta'ala will protect your son from going through all that. This brings us to the end of our first segment and the beginning of the next segment. And the next segment is called the Personality of the Week. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right. Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right. Tonight with Madani Channel. Madani
Channel. Tawfiq bhai, this is your segment. Which personality are we talking about today?
Hafsab, today inshallah we will be having the honor to talk about and remember one of the great messenger of Allah Ta'ala, who is called Prophet Nuh alayhi salam.
Subhanallah.
Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. In fact, before I mention something, I want to put a question to you.
Yeah.
You know, when you hear the name Nuh alayhi salam, this is the same for Harun bhai as well, what are the first three things that come to your mind?
The Ark Mubarak.
Ji.
The flood.
The flood.
Their son.
So they're all attached to the same incident if you look at it, yeah? Ji. And sometimes we wonder, you know, how big was that Ark?
Yeah.
Of Nuh alayhi salam. And what impact did it have on individuals? I just want to share with you just a bit of description about the Ark itself first. Then inshallah, I want to continue with them 3 points that you mentioned. Wow. Because they are the very common things that we hear about Nuh alayhi salam. In fact, I was looking for something else, you know, when you mentioned that, the age. Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, when he conveyed the message of Allah Ta'ala to the people, he did it for around 950 years.
Subhanallah. That was just the tabligh.
The propagation of the message, and not his age.
Jee.
Yeah. And it is written in Tafsir Siratul Jinan that his age, there's different narrations.
Jee.
One of them is that his age was around 1,050 years.
MashaAllah.
Yeah. That's one particular narration that's mentioned.
MashaAllah.
But it shows you that a lot of time that was put in propagation, and when you look at the result, yeah, that was shocking.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, it's a messenger of Allah, and not just, you know, every messenger, every prophet is very blessed and honored, but there are some messengers that have a very high status in the court of Allah Ta'ala, and one of them is Prophet Nuh alayhi salam,
one of the five high-ranked,
one of the ulul azm, one of the five, you know, great messengers of Allah Ta'ala. Is Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. And you know, someone being of that caliber, of that greatness, you know, if you look at spending 950 years propagating for the religion,
mm-hmm.
and then only a handful of people, you know, accepting the faith, you know, that itself, you know, it puts you down. Yeah. And not just that, if you have a family member, you know, who betrays you, goes against your wishes, and who doesn't accept your faith as well, look at the impact that it has on an individual.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And the whole story of the Noah's Ark, obviously we don't have time to discuss that, but I want to mention to you in brief that this Ark, it was huge. Subhanallah. It is mentioned in the Quranic wonders that this Ark was made out of wood, and it was 80 yards in length and 50 yards in width. It had three levels. This ark had three levels. In the lower level, there were wild animals, birds, and insects. In the middle level, there were cattle. And the upper level were the believers, the mu'mineen, those people who accepted the faith. So someone who propagated the religion for 950 years and only 80 people accepted the faith. Now, this shows us there's a few lessons that we learned from this. One, that as an individual, as a Muslim, our responsibility is to convey the call, to pass on the message, to forward the message, to invite people towards the right path. That's our responsibility. Yeah, as far as the hidayat is concerned, the guidance is concerned, this is from Allah. Yeah, and we should never lose hope that why are people not listening to me? Why are they not following me? For a personal benefit, I think we should. There's nothing wrong if you feel that maybe it's because of lack of my ikhlas, my sincerity. That's why I'm not getting the result. Uh-huh. Maybe it's due to my sins that's why people are not listening to me. That's from the spiritual point of view. But however, the reality is that our job is to convey the call, and the guidance is in the court of Allah, from the court of Allah. Uh-huh. That's one thing to keep in mind. Second, where his sons. He did not accept the faith. He was one of those. He did not listen and he did not sit. He did not take ride on the ark. Yeah. So that he was also drowned. Yeah, he was also drowned. And it mentioned that he did not accept the faith. Yeah. So that shows that those, someone who's blood related, very close to you, your sons, maybe the most beloved, that doesn't mean anything if they don't have faith. Faith is more important. Yeah, faith is more important. And if for example, a Nabi of Allah, a Prophet of Allah, a Messenger of Allah, someone like Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, and his son did not accept the faith, then those people, who in the current years they become Muslims, normally they call them the new Muslims or the converts or reverts, a lot of them, from their family members, there are many who do not accept the faith. Sometimes that really puts you off. You find it difficult to live your, socialize your life.
About him, it's mentioned in the Quran that when Nuh alayhi salam said to him that, come inside the ark, and because he wasn't a Muslim, he says that, no, I'm going to go to the highest mountain and I'll save myself.
Allahu Akbar. And even then, when that flood took place, the flood didn't happen like a day or two or a week. Yeah, there's different narrations, but one narration goes up to about 40 days. It rained so heavily for 40 days and 40 nights without any break.
Allahu Akbar.
In the current climate, sometimes if you look at it,
we get red warnings.
Warnings to come up, and it's very extremely difficult for us to maintain our daily or weekly schedule.
Some places flooded as well.
But for 40 consecutive days, Allahu Akbar. Look at the test that came from Allah. Like today's topic was about tests, calamities, and in a way, that test changed the whole world the way it was before and after that. Yeah. And Prophet Nuh alayhi salam is also known as the second Adam.
Adam al-Thani. Yeah.
Because it was from that incident when you could say the rest of things got demolished and restarted.
And they also mentioned that Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu was salam was from the descendant of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu. I always thought, Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu was salam, if he was Adam al-Thani, then after Adam alayhi salam, he would have been Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. But there have been prophets between that. The first prophet after Adam alayhi salam was Prophet Sheeth alayhi salam, who was the son of Adam alayhi salam. And then Nuh alayhi salatu was salam came later on as well.
With regards to the flood, we just heard that, it was for around 40 days. But how long did Prophet Nuh alayhi salam remain in the ark? Or those people who stayed there, SubhanAllah, it's mentioned in Quranic wonders that this huge ark, it sailed on the waves of that flood, and it continued for around 6 months. For 6 months. And then it came to a place by the command of Allah Ta'ala, it stopped at the place called Mount Judi. Yeah, and this is somewhere in Iraq.
Jee, mashallah, Azzawajal, my Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, we were talking about the Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, and Tawfiq bhai had all the readings, mashallah, from Quranic wonders. And this is a beautiful book that we should be buying and we should be reading and tell. These are stories that you should, read out to your family. Instead of reading stories of, so and so, read the stories of the Quran, the stories of the prophets, and the mashallah, the prophets alayhi salam, the awliya ikram. Inshallah, you'll get blessings as well. Jazakallah khairah, Tawfiq bhai. Inshallah, Azawajal, we'll hopefully can't wait for the next Prophet of Allah Azawajal we're going to talk about. Our next segment, inshallah, Azawajal, is Book of the Week. So let's go towards our last segment for today. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right. Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right. Tonight we're
We're going towards our last segment for today, and this segment is called Book of the Week. And let's go towards Harun Bhai, mashallah, who's busy tapping away, getting us this book. Harun Bhai, what are we talking about? Which book are we talking about today?
We're talking about Hikayate and Nasihate. So basically, this is a book about stories of the pious predecessors and the lessons that we can learn from them. And Allah Azza wa Jal says in the glorious Quran that, Allah Azza wa Jal gives even the example of a mosquito to try and explain things. So this is the way of the pious predecessors to help us explain. The reason is that traditionally, over time, the way our intellect, Allah Azza wa Jal, has created it is this, that we learn more from stories rather than from basic facts. So if I gave you a basic fact, you would perhaps take it in, but you wouldn't actually appreciate it. But if I showed you a story, it would have more of an impact on you. For example, if I say, you are going to die one day, you're going to go to a dark and lonely grave, so stop committing sins and, repent in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. A lot of the viewers and the people think, well, we've heard that before.
Mm.
But the Buzurgan Deen, they do something in a particular way. So in this book, I'll give you a beautiful example. Hazrat Sayyidina Zunnun Misri, rahmatullah alayhi, is walking along the marketplace. And suddenly he sees four people. And they're carrying a body. So he's quite perturbed by this because he thinks, there's no relatives, there's nobody else. There's nobody seems to be upset as well. They're just carrying this body through. So he thinks, for the pleasure of Allah to gain reward, I will help them. So he follows them to the graveyard. And when he gets to the graveyard, they ask him to step forward and read the janazah. And he says, what is the story behind this person? Where are his relatives? Where are his children? Anybody? And he said, there's nobody. And we don't know much about him. So he steps forward, he reads his janazah, they lower him to the grave and they bury him. And he then turns to them and says, you must know something about this person. What is it about him? They say, we don't know, but there is an old lady who has paid us to come and do this. And so she said, you go and bury him and I'll come. So if you wait here, she will come. So after a short time, this old lady comes up. And she takes her veil off. She starts to cry. And she prays in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And she cries and cries and begs Allah Azza wa Jal. And eventually, then she faints. Then she wakes up and she's smiling. So Hazrat Zunnun Misri, rahmatullah alayhi, says, who are you and who is this person? And the lady says that, this is my son. And he spent his life in disobedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. He used to go out, he used to drink, he used to wear fancy clothes, he used to ignore his salah. He did every burai, all the sins that you can think, he used to do them. He used to have friends everywhere. The world evolved around him. And suddenly, he became ill. Within 3 days, he went from that life of the world to realizing that his death is close. Now, when he realized this, he realized how he'd wasted his life. And he said, what do I do? Will my Rabb forgive me? He said, he wrote some couplets in Arabic, which are translated in Hikayate and Nasihate. It says, okay, my sins are so heavy because I never bothered about prayer, fasting. I was ignorant of it. I thought the world was everything. I thought my body was strong. Well, and yet suddenly, look where it's taken me. Strong, healthy body. I was the life of every party. And now suddenly, I'm here waiting for death. Gosh, I wish that I hadn't ignored my Rabb Azza wa Jal. I wish that I hadn't committed all these sins. I wish that I'd recognized my Creator. I wish that I had not wasted my opportunities. I wish that I hadn't indulged in all these sins. Today, I'm no longer the life of the party, but but nobody wants to know me.
Allahu Akbar.
I have to turn to my Creator. Of source, I regret, regret, and regret. Allahu Akbar.
You know, Harun Bhai, as you mentioned, this particular incident, this book, Hikayate or Nasihate, is full of spiritual lessons for us. You know, when you read short stories, they're not like a lengthy story that you have to read pages and pages. No, couple, two or three sides of a page. Yeah, you read something, and then with that, it gives you the lessons, you know, that you can learn and better your life. One of the beauty of this particular book is that it's very easy to understand, you know, especially because it's simple, written in Urdu book. Mm. It's an Urdu book, and it's very easy to understand for the public, you know, to read it, understand it, and take it in. But overall, if you look at the concept of this book, is storytelling. Yeah, storytelling and the lessons we learn from it. And storytelling is one of the modern techniques of teaching. You know, especially, you know, I'll say to the members, the viewers here, that when you're sitting at home with your children, with your nephews, with your family members, you know, use this approach. This is a beautiful book that you read a book, at least read it once before you say with your family. So read a book and share the story with them. Yeah, and then discuss that story with them and see what lessons that they can come up with, and then read out the lessons that are mentioned in the book as well.
You see, the important thing is, Tawfiq Bhai, this isn't a modern thing actually, because storytelling has been around for thousands of years. And when you look at the glorious Quran, it has the most beautiful story. Ahsan al-Qasas is a Hafsa, the most beautiful story of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. So storytelling is a beautiful way of getting your message across. And the prime example is that this story that I've just narrated to you, you could visualize it, you could see it, yes? Now, what the lessons of that story I actually gave you at the beginning. Remember when I gave you that summary?
Mm.
Those were the lessons, weren't they? But they didn't sit in you. If I asked you to repeat that, you would never be able to repeat it. But if I asked you to repeat the story, you will. Why? Because this is the way we're wired to actually remember these.
Well, you know, with regards to this particular book, Hikayat al-Nasihah, one of the quality of this is, this book consists of around 56 bayanat, speeches. Yeah, you know, ready for a muballigh, a preacher, to read it the way it's written. And especially those who are not scholars, who are not learned in Islamic fields, Islamic sciences, they could just read the book the way it is and do a speech as well.
Jee, Pyare Islam Bhai, Alhamdulillah Azawajal. Now, where do they get this book from?
I can tell you how much it is.
How much?
Free. DawatIslami.net. DawatIslami.net. Right now, get your tablets out, get your laptop out, or even get your phone out, and download it, DawatIslami.net, Hikayat al-Nasihah, just put it in, and download it, and then make the niyyat that before you go to bed today, I will try and read, if your Urdu is good, 12 pages, and if your Urdu is like mine, then say 6 pages.
No, even 1 page. Even 1 page.
Even 1 page.
If someone could read today, inshallah.
You will never be able to stop on 1 page. I'll tell you why. Because once you, say that vakya that I just read, if you tried stopping after 1 page, you couldn't stop, even if you tried.
Allah. You know, this book was written by Sayyiduna Ash-Shaykh Shu'ayb Harifish rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, who passed away in 810 Hijri. Allah. So we're talking about 700-800 years ago.
Allah.
And mashallah Azawajal, this book is available from the website of Dawat Islami, DawatIslami.net. JazakAllah khairah, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel. Inshallah Azawajal, hopefully next week, same time, inshallah Azawajal, we'll join you with another beautiful episode of Tonight with Madani channel. Take care of yourself and keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib.
Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right. Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right.